It was this morning when our producer, Sam, informed me because it's Wednesday. It is the War Room.
Let me be perfectly clear.
Putting out misinformation.
And we hear them.
Misleading politics.
What's really important here?
Spreading it online.
Unequivocally.
The War Room.
Okay, that voice of God just said it a lot better than I did. The War Room, though, I had forgotten all about this delightful segments on Wednesdays. I'm so happy to welcome Zane Velgia, political campaign strategist and partner at Northweather. He formerly worked with Calgary Mayor Naheed Nenshi and Alberta NDP leader Rachel Notley. Also on the line is Tom Mulcair, CTV political analyst and former NDP leader. And of course, Tim Powers, chairman of Summa Strategy and managing director of Abacus Data. Thank you all for joining me today.
Hey, Tamara.
So we've got a lot to dive into today. We spent much of the show talking about this bombshell exclusive from Rob Benzie in the Toronto Star today, talking about, or rather, I should say last night, talking about a plan that we can expect coming down the pipes from Doug Ford to create a system in Toronto and Ottawa city politics that would give far more powers to the mayors. Of course, Toronto Mayor John Tory sounding today like this is something he would be happy with. During the last provincial campaign, Doug Ford promised to build 1.5 million homes over 10 years. And this certainly aligns with Toronto and Mayor Tory's priorities, where there is a vast shortage of affordable housing. Here's Mayor Tory on that.
I had a meeting with him not too long ago, and in that meeting there was a passing reference to, we've got to find ways to get more housing built faster, and that was the sort of substance of it. And in the passing, it was mentioned that, you know, you have to be able to show, you know, to show and exercise leadership in doing that. But that was the substance of the conversation. That is the truth.
That said, we've heard from many people on the show today who think that this would be undemocratic. Among them, Ottawa City Councillor and mayoral candidate Catherine McKenney. She thinks this would be an undemocratic move and we should not be concentrating power in the mayor's seat. Now, what do you all think? Zane Velgie, what was your reaction to the news last night?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, this is very much akin to the Doug Ford that we saw on the heels of the last time he was elected, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Where he made major changes to the municipal landscape in Toronto. I mean, listen, this guy, from a political standpoint, still wants to continue to govern Toronto, whether that's a legacy to his brother or whether that's just what he knows best as a former councillor. This is what he wants to do. And you will see that he's using political capital on something he really didn't campaign on at all, let alone mentioned, to do this. There's also a case for him to do it. The fact that you can argue that Ontario is too overgoverned, that there's too many municipalities, you know, and we've seen this amalgamation over the past 35 years, you know, start being chopped down, reduced. So there is a governance excuse or rationale that he has here. But the question I would put forward is really the two pathways that we have. Is he going to modernize government by doing this, or is he going to do this to consolidate power? Option A, to modernize, is a bigger question, because cities are still the creatures of the province, their taxation powers, the limitations that they have on many things. Is this going to actually modernize and give cities more broadly, let's put the mayor aside, cities more power? Or is this strictly a consolidation of power? We're going to see more regional governments, services such as ambulance and other services now be regionalized, be perhaps creatures of the province on their own. So there are two pathways here for Doug Ford. And so I suspect that while we're excited about the news and it's very chatter worthy, it's really about focusing which pathway he's going to choose, because that will tell you his true intention beyond the obsession of municipal government that he's clearly had for a very long time.
Yeah, and it's interesting to note, I think it was 2014 that he lost, the current premier, Doug Ford, lost his then bid for the mayor's seat to the current mayor, John Tory. Tom Mulcair, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think that to Zane's point about big cities being creatures of the provincial government, of course, constitutionally and legally, he is 100% right. But if you really want to drive a big city mayor up the wall, tell him or her that they are just creatures of their provincial government. It drives them crazy because cities see themselves as having their own existence. And some of the big cities, I mean, look at Greater Toronto, you know, that is bigger than any province other than Ontario and Quebec in terms of population scope, all the energy that's there, the whole economy, everything that those big cities represent. I think that Ford is onto something here in terms of streamlining good public administration. Is there a risk that some of the mega consultation that takes place right now that tends to bog things down somewhat, is there a risk to that? Yes. Will some voices be less heard? Possibly. They've got to be mindful of that. But at the same time, we're overgoverned. We've got too many layers. We've got too many people. And I think that the overall idea of better, slimmer, trimmer public administration is a good idea.
And obviously, Doug Ford would agree with you. Let's not forget that it was about this time during the last municipal election campaign in Toronto that Doug Ford used his premier powers and his influence there to cut down the size of city councillor. I think it went from like 47 seats to 24 seats, essentially cut it in half. Tim Powers, do you see a strategy here with Doug Ford not making this announcement, Rob Benzie making this announcement for him, apparently weeks early, but right after he's just been elected again for another term as premier?
I don't know what the specific strategy is, Tamara. I'd rather you ask me Zane's question. What did I think when I first saw it?
Tim Powers, what did you think when you first heard this last night?
Well, I was in the middle of Labrador and I didn't give a damn. Because, you know, we don't really care about everything that happens in Ontario when you're in the middle
of Labrador. It's the center of the universe, Tim.
Oh, I know. No, the center of the universe in the middle of the Labrador is the Atlantic salmon. That was more important yesterday. But I'll give it a go here for you today. And it's, look, I let me pick from both Tom and Zane. You know, sporadically, this could be a good thing. It would depend on who the mayor is. But consistently, is this the best approach? You can look at different mayors and different leaders in different communities and say, well, I wish that person had had more power to execute or deliver what they had promised on and council stopped them. It's the inconsistency that worries me and what that inconsistency could lead to. We are over-governed. But it's not just the structure, it's the people that are offering themselves to govern. If Catherine McKenney, who I was glad to hear you say, opposed this, had those authorities in Ottawa, you'd have a lot of people who were worried because they believe fairly or unfairly, and I'm a friend of Catherine's, that her agenda is too left-leaning, and that would have a major impact on the way she would govern, and that would affect property taxes and everything like that. So depends on the moment, depends on the time. I think more needs to be done before this decree happens, and let me tell you, the Atlantic salmon is still more interesting tomorrow.
Can I just say, I have to come clean now. Everything I said in my answer was downloaded to me by a friend in Toronto who's very obsessed with this story, because like Tim, I am dealing with my own regional issues, getting over the Stampede hangover, even though I don't drink. So I'm going to come clean on my response.
Thank you very much for that. Now, we've just got a minute left, but Tim, you raised an interesting issue or an interesting point there about it kind of depends on who the mayor is. Tom Mulcair, what do you think this will do to the municipal election campaign, the mayoral race right now and future races?
Well, there are people, some cynics saying, you know, that perhaps Mr. Ford is setting things up for whichever Ford family member wants to be mayor next time around.
Whichever cousin also, or sibling or brother.
Their nephew.
There you go. Yeah.
And they're saying also that, of course, the developers will love this. But overall, I do think that the notion of better public administration, making things slimmer. He already got into a big tussle with some of the more progressive forces, you know, my peeps, in Toronto last time around when he trimmed down City Hall. And I don't think that there's a single person in the GTA who's longing for the day where they had many more council members. They used to have like offices and quasi parties and caucuses. And I'm sort of going, okay, this is not the administration of a city. This is the administration of a mid-sized province. And I think that Ford is coming down on, let's make these cities, let's give them the chance to come up with decisions that make sense for their people. Everything is local. You know, this is a basic principle of governance. They call it subsidiarity.
We've got the Oscars acceptance speech music playing. We got to end it there, but we will have more from the War Room coming up after the break. Thanks for joining us. We are into part two of the War Room. We have joining us today Zane Velji, Tom Mulcair, Tim Powers. We've got lots to talk about in this segment, so let's just get right to it. The turbines. The turbines just cannot go away for Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Yesterday, the Prime Minister defended allowing a turbine used in the Nord Stream 1 pipeline to be sent to Russia.
This decision was a difficult one, but it was the right one to ensure that we continue to all stand together against Putin's illegal war in support of Ukraine.
Tim Powers, how do you think this is going to play out?
This only makes sense, Tamara, if there's a trade-off here. And the trade-off isn't the turbine. The trade-off is what the Germans have been foreshadowing a little bit, and that is a couple of LNG natural gas terminals in eastern Canada. You have to think that's why the government is putting it, bringing it back on stream as quickly as possible, getting it through all the permitting hoops that it has to get through, taking the heat that it's taking both from Zelensky and others. Because why would they want to do a favor for the Russians? They wouldn't. But doing a favor for the Germans, if it's going to mean opportunity for Canada, particularly with LNG, is something the government should consider, of course. And that gets them to a place, and we've talked about it on this panel before, what are they then trading off with many of their environmental community supporters who are already mad at them for their investment in Beta Nord on the East Coast? So only makes sense if it's for a payback for opportunity for Canadians to sell our product to Europe.
Zane Velji, you know, the reason that Justin Trudeau is defending this exception to the sanctions, of course, is because Russia said, surprise, surprise, we might actually not be able to speed up oil being sent off to different parts of Europe. So what was your reaction?
I mean, my political reaction, I laugh because I think Tim's analysis is just, it's bang on. And, and you know, there's, when you look at it from a 30,000 foot view, from a political perspective, you're like, I see why there's such opportunity in being a liberal. You get to be this party in the middle that shape shifts to where the conversation is going. You get to pick your spots. And if it's not going well, you change your focal point. You're not ideologically bound. It sounds like the most promising place to be. And then situations like this highlight how it's so impossible for you in certain cases when you overreach. And let's look at elementally what this is for Trudeau. This is foreign affairs, a historical weakness, symbolism versus execution, a historical weakness for this government and for Justin Trudeau. And it's balancing off pipelines and climate, a conversation I bet he does not want to have right now as they try to push on net zero with Minister Guilbeault. And I think it's situations like this that we're seeing that, yes, there's a trade-off to Tim's point, but highlights that if you are a government that is constantly trying to shape-shift, that situations like this can get you caught in three or four historic pain points that really beat you down to a pulp when you're already being hammered for having a government that's lethargic over the last 6 months post-election. So there's really a lot of political downside when we look at the Trudeau situation here. And I think that's the main sort of analysis that I've been looking at it through. Of course, I agree with Tim that this is really to do with the upside of the LNG. The question then becomes, though, does this government get any credit for it? Because if they're going to get the LNG projects, come back domestically and have to trade that off for environmental upside, what the heck are we doing here anyways? Both and an economic perspective. That's my
rant. Tom O'Carra, we missed anything in there?
I would add two words, weakness and principle. That's what Zelensky said Trudeau was showing in giving Russia more money to fight the war against Ukraine. And he said these decisions have to be based on principle. Mr. Trudeau went to Kyiv. He personally raised the Canadian flag on our embassy and stood there and emoted about the importance of Canadian sanctions, which, of course, he's not enforcing. So he said two things in response to the predicted criticism. He said, well, through Wilkinson, he said, well, you know, the permit to go around our sanctions, it's time limited and it's revocable. Hello, do you really think people are that stupid? The minute the thing is exported, the permit lapses and it doesn't matter anyway. And then with regard to what they're actually doing, of course, it is allowing Russia to have more funds to prosecute the war. It makes no sense. They sent in, and this was the icing on the cake, they sent in our Minister of Foreign Affairs, Minister Melanie Joly, and she said, but you know what we're going to do? We're going to have more sanctions. So what, they're going to sanction some guy in the mailroom in Moscow? That's going to be their reaction? They don't even enforce the sanctions we have. And even though this is July, and we shouldn't be talking about serious stuff, somehow, Trudeau has managed to conspire to take, I love the way Zane wrapped it up, absolutely the worst possible decision. And I don't care who's going to talk about LNG terminals. Those things take years and years to build, and they're nowhere near coming off the ground. So this is unprincipled, and it does show weakness. And I think that Trudeau, that for him, this has been a lose-lose-lose across the board.
Can I just quickly add, I think there, Tom makes up a really good point with this government. One thing I've been noticing is that they conflate ideological with principle. They don't want to be ideological because they want to be this government that gets to sit in the middle of the political spectrum and shape shift and choose bits and pieces of where the public is. And I think they conflate that, which is a political imperative, with the moral and ethical one, perhaps, which is principled. And I think that's what's gotten them into trouble here, because at some point you're asking yourself, well, what do they really believe in when it comes to some of these big files?
On to another topic right now. I didn't think that the federal conservative leadership race could get any more interesting with everything that's happened, especially, you know, Patrick Brown being booted back to Brampton, though I'm sure that's not how he'd be painting it now. But something very interesting coming to light of late, and that is from political commentator Tasha Carradin, who, of course, has been working with Jean Charest, who is one of the leadership contenders. And that is the idea of a conservative liberal coalition. Tom Mulcair, I'll go to you on this first. It seems to be a really interesting time, especially considering the so-called agreement that we have in place between the NDP and the Liberals, to be floating this sort of idea.
Yeah, I mean, this is an attempt to institutionalize being in the middle of the road. Charest is looking at the gong show that he walked into unwittingly, because I don't really think he had the measure of what Pierre Poilievre's conservatives looked like. The Patrick Brown shenanigans, turfing him on the slimmest of pretexts, that's not going to go over very well with anybody who cares about democracy. The signal from the party is, we've already decided Pierre Poilievre's taking over. Forget about your second place votes, because nobody who was in for Patrick Brown's going to vote anyway. At the end of the day, the real question is going to be, is there going to be the creation of a new party? And I think predictably, there will be a new party to come out of the ashes of this mess that they're in right now in the Conservative Party.
I feel like there has to be. Zane, what are your thoughts?
I agree completely. I mean, they're trying to preempt the results. They know it's Pierre's party. They're trying to ensure that they do the work that Pierre has almost refused to do, which is, there's no indication this guy's going to moderate. There's no indication that he's going to do the, okay, now that this is over, let's all come into the tent together. That seems to be done. The scorched earth campaign that the Pierre side has run almost eliminates the possibility of the big tent model going forward. Call me wrong. I could be surprised. And I think this is some of that work that that the Charest camp and others, including this group called the Center Ice Conservatives, meeting in Edmonton this week, are trying to do to ensure that mainstream conservatism doesn't lose its foothold as one of the two, at least historically, governing options of this country.
Tim, we've got less than a minute left. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, all I would say is look at history. It just makes sense that this is about to happen. Now, every time conservatives have come out of government, gone into opposition, there's always splintering. There's always fracturing that occurs. It's pretty likely this go around. And I think the other thing that Tasha is arguing from a strategic perspective, you know, more moderates, if you want moderation, go with Jean Charest. But yeah, it's been about, what, almost 20 years tomorrow. It's time, you know, it's time for the new parties to have a new party. That's the way it works in conservative land.
All right. Zane Belgia, political campaign strategist and partner at Northweather. Tom Mulcair, CTV political analyst and former NDP leader. And of course, that last voice, Tim Powers, chairman of Summa Strategies and managing director of Abacus Data. Thank you guys for joining us on the War Room today. Looking forward to the next round. I'll be back next month, actually, to join you guys.